Hello there, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Mike the Gardener Gardening Podcast, sponsored as always by those rather lovely people at Natural Grower. Now, Natural Grower supply plant-based products for both organic and chemical-free gardening and your houseplants. They're absolutely crammed with certified organic growing power, and if you're looking for amazing results with all of your fruit and veg, your flower beds and houseplants, then Natural Grower's award-winning, certified, organic, peat-free compost and fertiliser are the very best you can buy. And your plants and gardens will love you for using it. All products are certified organic, they're 100% chemical-free and 100% peat-free. And those rather lovely people at Natural Grower have given me an exclusive 15% discount off all products for my listeners. Just pop MIC15 into the apply coupon field when you check out. Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of the Mike the Gardener Gardening Podcast. One of the things I absolutely love about doing the podcast is getting a chance to chat to somebody again. A second chance to have a chat, either because they've got a new book or something has happened in their lives worthy of getting together and chatting about. Whatever the reason, and it doesn't really matter, it's just lovely to catch up with friends and people I know within this wonderful industry. And today is just one of those times when I get to chat again to the rather lovely Jekka McVicar. I first spoke to Jekka in 2022. Although, because of the very sad passing of Her Majesty the Queen and some stories we talked about within that episode, the podcast didn't air until early 2023. And I'm going to re-release that episode alongside this one because it contains some wonderful conversations, as does this episode. Our primary reason for chatting today was Jekka's new book, 100 Herbs to Grow, published by Quadril on the 7th of March. So we chat about the book, how it came about, its design and its beautiful layout. But we also have several fascinating conversations about nurseries and the importance of holding on to them so that we can protect plant collections and the knowledge, skills and experience of those wonderful nurserymen and women. We also talk about children and getting children into gardening and horticulture. And of course, lots more, including how Jekka spends her me time. It's a truly fascinating chat, and I just know you're going to love it. So, without further ado, here it is. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, because I know you must be manic at the moment, everything kicking off.
Yesterday was inspirational.
Why?
I could actually go into the tunnels and see the plants growing, that bit of sun, you know, and you could literally feel everyone going, oh, this is nice. I'm coming through now. And I'm going, no, wait. We're still February. Just hang on, kids, you know. But the stuff in the tunnels way in front this year.
Well, I had the same sort of experience yesterday. I was out in the garden yesterday afternoon in the sun, and you can almost hear the soil stirring as perennials start to push up. But then I spoke to somebody the other day, actually it was Tamsin Westhorpe, and she said, her uncle said, we've not had winter yet, it's still to come. So there is that sort of in the back of your mind, you're getting all excited, but...
Isn't there something called a slow snow, when the slow flowers, when the, you know, the slow goes into flower, the blackthorn? So it's a blackthorn winter. There's something about when the blackthorn flowers at a certain time, winter will stay until they drop. So last year we had a very late getting rid of winter.
Yeah, I've heard a similar story about sloes in the winter, and let's just take each day as it comes and see what happens. Yeah. July 22, I came across to the nursery, and I had lots of questions, lots of feedback after you appeared on the podcast. So today we need to consider this. Jekka, Queen of Herbs, the movie, here we go again. But then, having said that, Queen of Herbs gets bandied around a lot. How does that sit with you? Does that sit comfortably with you, or is it a bit sort of like,
I hate it.
oh, well, we have to take
I'm
that
not a
introduction.
queen of herbs. I'm a herb nut. I mean, bless Jamie. He said it, and because of who he is, everybody bounces on that, don't they?
And I guess it's probably Queen of Herbs has got a better ring than Herb Nut. Hasn't quite got the here's Jack McCullough, Herb Nut.
I guess you're right, but I'm just not very good at being in the front. Do you understand?
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess that's why I asked the question, because everybody else will call you from whoever started, but Jamie, whoever, people know you as the Queen of Herbs. But then I always do think, I wonder how you actually feel about that. I mean,
It's like being a living icon.
and that's what you are.
No, I'm a fossil.
You're definitely not a fossil. You're definitely not a fossil. When we met, I came up to the nursery. That was July 22. You said during that podcast you were about 31 weeks away from completing a new book. And I have said book, 100 Herbs to Grow, in front of me now, comprehensive guide to the best culinary and medicinal herbs. What a lovely book.
Really?
Yeah, do you know? I like it because it just looks and feels great. But what I like more is inside the layout, the design, the pictures, and your words. It's just beautifully laid out. It's not, it's easy to read. It's just logical and
They're a
beautiful.
great team, Quadril, and I had a fixed idea of how I wanted the book laid out because I wanted it how I use a book. I wanted it so that you could drop in, you could be fascinated, and then it would take you off on another sort of look at, doing a bit of research into the history or the cooking or the medicinal, and I wanted that this to be the sort of center point of people going out and finding about all these amazing plants that have been on this planet for thousands of years, but we're so ignorant that we just think we can do it without them, which we can't. And I am just thrilled to bits. I had a wonderful editor, absolutely wonderful, and Sarah, and a fantastic designer. And, I'm just so chuffed. Because even though you say this is what you would like and how you'd like it to look, but when I got it, even though I'd seen the spreads and everything and gone through everything with a fine-tooth comb and everything, when you got it and it was laid out like that, you just thought,
Yeah.
it's everything that anybody could want. And little things like, I put in a glossary, and Catherine, who was the designer, was incredibly patient because I kept saying, and that's not quite right. We need to do this. And I'm sorry, I've dropped that bit, and we need to put that back in. And, bless her cotton socks, she came up trumps. And the photographs, thank you. 90% of the photographs are mine. And Hannah's got an input in as well. And there's a lady in there who won our photographic competition. Her photographs in there of the slug. It's and Jason, who's taken my photograph forever and a day, he's there.
This is Jason Ingram. What I like about it is, I mean, the word Bible is often bandied around, but really, with what you cover in here, and I won't give too much away, history, species, propagation, pests and diseases, how and where to grow, growing in containers, maintenance, harvesting, culinary uses, medicinal uses, It's all there for each of the 100 herbs. Who were you thinking of when you wrote the book? Who was it for?
It's for anybody. It's for experts like yourself. So you could answer a sort of technical question about soil or substrate or plant family. And it's for the novice who wants to grow herbs for the first time. So it is aimed at everyone. It is not exclusive at all.
And it covers everything from Achillea millefolium. Now I'm going to have to run up to this one, to Xanthoxylum piperitum.
Yeah, or piperitum, is it? I don't know. I mean, it's like tomatoes, tomatoes, potatoes, potatoes. I'm useless at saying the botanical names. I know exactly what you mean, and that is the Sichuan.
Right, okay. Now, for you, is it an easy book to write? With your knowledge, do the words just fall out, or are you still required? You talked about research. Do you still need to research when you do this book? Are there certain herbs that you are not so familiar with that you spot up on, or?
Not in this book. This book is everything I grow. That's
Right.
why it's 100 Herbs to Grow. We grow them here. So everything I'm writing about is factual. Do I find writing easy? No. I admit I failed English language 7 times. I did try 7 times to get my English language. But being old in those days, dyslexia didn't exist. And I
Yes.
have to line up all my botanical names to make sure that I've got, because editors are not used to the botanical names, to make sure I've got all the letters in the right place. So it takes me hours to write.
But you still have this at the end of it. So,
Yes.
and I think
Yes.
we hear the story, as you say, dyslexia didn't exist when we were younger, but it does now. But we all just got on with it and embraced and did what we possibly could. But I wondered if the writing side doesn't come easy to, well, not it doesn't come easy, you maybe think about it more. What about things like climate change and how that affects how we grow now? We're using peat-free. How does that affect how you write? And do you have to think about that more?
I've always been peat-free, so that was easy. And in fact, in my first book, I wrote about propagating bark. That my first book was 30 years ago. And this is the update, if you like. This is my 30 years experience between my first book and now. So the peat-free is natural to me. Climate change, because I've kept temperature records right the way through from beginning to end, of what I've done. Every day I go out and I take temperatures. I'm very aware of climate. My actual soil here is clay, so I'm really aware of water tables, which I wasn't when I started. And I've watched the plants. As I say, this is everything I grow. So I'm very aware how, when we have these, like now, serious rain, it rots the crown of thymes, the creeping thymes. So hence the new herb garden where I'm experimenting and growing in just gravel and how they're coping. That's on a clay below, but they're in gravel. That has been wonderful. And so this year, the actual new herb garden should look much better than last, which is very exciting. And all those ideas and things that I've learnt, and people think of gardening as you go out there, you dig a hole, you put a plant in, and you go back inside and have a cup of tea. But actually, there's much more to that. And people are on about health and well-being, but both of us started with how yesterday inspired us because of the warmth and the feeling of the plants. For me, every day I walk the plants and you can see them and how they are and what's happening and who's been eaten by whom and where the balance is. It's much more about being with the plants than just dumping them in the soil. So this whole book is, it may be written literally, but it is actually all my observations over those years.
When we talked last time, you talked about the importance of sharing plant knowledge, of
Yes.
protecting plant collections, and sharing the skill of propagation. And I guess your book goes some way to do that. But how does the industry communicate the importance of these things? How do we share that with these gardeners who will put a plant in and then just walk away? We need more than that, don't we?
I'm very aware of time, and I'm very aware that people are beginning to realize the importance of inspiring the young. Because when you inspire children, they respond so well to looking at bugs or looking at flowers, and and especially if you can weave a story into that plant. Preferably Harry Potter. And then they'll go through a phase where they've got academia, they've got cars, and unfortunately social media. And then they'll get their first house and maybe their first garden or their first flat, and they've got space to have pots. And that's when plants will come back, because it never leaves you if you sow the seed early enough. I remember as a child, there was a wonderful old man called Mr. Bell. And he used to sit outside his house in Shoe Magna. And my parents lived at the top of the hill. And I was allowed, aged 5 in those days, to walk right the way down the village to get the Sunday papers. And his little cottage was next door to that. And I remember one day he said, "Do you want to see what I'm doing?" So I walked over to him, cutting mum and dad's paper. And I remember looking at his hands. They were so lined and so weathered. And he said, "What I'm doing here is I'm cleaning seed to sow." And he had tomato seeds. He had his tomatoes. They were all shriveled up, but the seeds were in the middle. And he was extracting the seed with these amazing hands. And I thought then, wow, the seeds in the middle of the tomato is the future seed, the plant, the fruit, what we eat. And that was such a revelation. How many children know when they cut a tomato in half that those seeds are what we sow?
And how many children still think, if asked, where do tomatoes come from, to respond to the supermarket, because they don't have that knowledge of, well, the fact that they're grown in a field or grown somewhere. And I think I agree with what you say. I think you can get kids excited about bugs and growing plants at a young age, but then there's that time when they need to go away, I guess, be teenagers, do what they're going to do. But it's when they have a first house that some of those, as you say, that seed sown. So, what I'm sort of asking is, we keep talking about the younger generation, the new generation of gardeners, but do we have to allow that period of time when they've done the youngster bit? We then need to allow them to go off and do the teenage bit before they come back to gardening.
I think there are a lot of children where, if they'd been allowed to go on gardening, would be gardeners today. But rather like when I went to careers, gardening was not something that you did. Mind you, joining a rock band wasn't either. But hey. But do you understand?
I do.
And it's still, parents think of horticulture, gardening, as a career that won't pay the bills. And unfortunately, in the way, they are right, because people perceive of plants as cheap. Now, if I say most of the plants I sell are 2 to 3 years old, except for the annuals, but all my shrubs are 2 or 3 years old because I want them to succeed when people plant them in the garden. And, a 2-year-old plant on average for me is about 10 quid. Okay. A bottle of wine, a 1-year-old bottle of wine, £8.99, £9. The bottle of wine, I've forgotten what a pint of beer is, something astronomical. A bottle of wine does not last very long, whereas the shrubs I grow can last 30 years. And so capers, for example, I grow, they take me 5 years from seed to sale. So I've been experimenting with cuttings, which is proving quite interesting. So also as a gardener, you're forever learning. Now, am I a gardener or a horticulturalist? I fear I'm more of a horticulturalist than I am a gardener, but I'm still just, so back to my young people, it's like the apprentice scheme. I wish there was an apprentice scheme for nurseries. Not for gardening, not for production. There is for production. You can get one in agriculture for production because I read all about it. You have to use heavy machinery. I don't use heavy machinery here. But for some young, this would be the perfect job. It is skilled, it relies on memory, it relies on delicate skill. It's like being a chef. You've got to be delicate, you've got to have skill to do it. But it's not perceived.
You mentioned the word chef there, and I often think about this. How many cookery programs are there on the television compared to gardening programs? And the thing, when I'm watching these cookery programs, the head chef, or they all talk to each other. Yes, chef. Yes, chef. There's this respect amongst themselves, and I wonder if, as gardeners, do we need to do more to promote the fact that it is skilled? Because there are those people who think, well, he just pushes a lawnmower around and cuts the shrubs. But there is the propagation side of things. There's the knowledge, there's the botany, there's so much more to get the best out of each plant. Are we within the industry not doing ourselves any favours by we're not promoting ourselves in the way that perhaps top chefs do?
It's not sexy.
Yeah, that's it. And why? Because there are many parallels to being a chef and being a gardener. Why is
But then, right, okay. There's no right or wrong way to grow a plant. Okay.
yeah.
Okay. But then I'm worried about some of the young that the media are promoting. Actually don't have the foundation
Yeah.
of growing plants, and they're perceived as experts by people who watch them on television and online. To one TV presenter said, "You don't take cuttings in February." I've been taking cuttings throughout December, January, February. It depends what cuttings. You can take root cuttings,
Yeah, I did. No, yeah.
and quite a few you can take hardwood cuttings, and so you can. The fact they say you can't, suddenly it's rather like when television and gardening took off, people stopped planting in the autumn. And the autumn for herbaceous plants, for trees, anything where you want them to put on a root ball. The soil is warm. It's the perfect time. And I mean, I'm known for saying you cannot sow seeds into the open ground until you can sit on the soil without your knickers on. Because once you can do that, then you know that the soil is warm enough. Obviously, if you've got an allotment, that's a bit embarrassing. So you just put the back of your hand onto the soil. But hey, I am worried that a little knowledge is a bad thing, whereas grumpy old cows like me, we're not preaching, we're not saying this is absolutely finitely it, because it's not. Every garden is different, every place is different. What I'm trying to do is inspire people to grow plants.
You talked, or you mentioned social media earlier. What are your thoughts on gardening, horticulture within social media? And the reason I ask that is I see people, influencers, if for want of a better word, let's call them influencers, who say things and you cringe because in the same situation, you can't take cuttings at this time of year. Well, you can, dependent. I see a lot on social media from people who have significant followings who are saying, don't do this, do that. And you just think this is so wrong. What are your thoughts on how social media influences, particularly new gardeners?
I'm worried.
Yeah.
I am worried. That's why I was saying I'm concerned that there's no right or wrong way. But influences, by their nature, are influences, and they are, will inspire and turn off the next lot of gardeners. And I don't want to blind people with science, and I don't want to blind people with, how amazing everything is. But it is. But I wish the influencers would stop and not try to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. Changing the subject. When I came to see you, we talked about nurseries. Small nurseries, those ones that are the nuts and bolts of the industry that have these amazing plant collections. The future of that is also very important as well. And I wonder, sort of like, what we need to do collectively to ensure these small nurseries, these independent nurseries that grow a fantastic range of plants, have these beautiful plant collections. How do we keep those in place so that going into the future, we don't lose some of these magnificent and amazing plants? And something you mentioned last time we spoke was there was a particular herb that would help us as human beings in medicinal purposes, and there's a chance that that might get lost. How do we keep all these amazing plant collections intact?
If you'd asked me that when we, well, you did ask me that when we last met. I hate to say it, we're nearly too late to save the specialist nursery. Since we've spoken, two fantastic nurseries are and have closed, lavender and bulbs. That's Danderry Lavender, Avon Bulbs.
Yeah.
And it is so, I don't want to sound really sad, but I'm really concerned that collections will be lost. It's rather like hearing that there are no turtle doves. It's you will miss it when it's gone. The specialist nursery is in jeopardy. There isn't any two ways about it. It's very expensive to run a nursery. It is not cost effective to run a nursery if you just sell plants. I'm very, very lucky that I can do other things like talk. And I can write, and that has been helpful. But also the fact that incomes come in from other ways, like my son setting up the mail order. So we have ducked and dived, pivoted, whatever the new word is. But I am really very aware that because we're shrinking. And because it's not cost effective, and because there's no apprentice scheme to work on a nursery, and I really have tried my socks off to get one, that the future is not brilliant.
And of course, the future could be walking into a large garden centre, and if you want a lavender, you'll have Hidcote and possibly What's the other one? Pidcote and
Munstead.
Munstead. And that will be it. Your choice will be this one or this one. If you want Echinacea, it will be Purpurea. You might have White Swan. That will be it. So that is my concern. And I see local nurseries around here that have folded and gone into liquidation and are no more. So for anybody who's thinking of setting up a nursery, yes, you need to have your business acumen, you need to be able to do your accounts, but what else do to actually get your foot in the door and to grow a business, a nursery that will thrive and will protect plant collections?
Well, for how I did it was I exhibited at the RHS. And in those days, they had the halls. And if you exhibited at the halls, you had to get a silver medal before you could sell plants. So it showed that you could stage plants, that you knew what you were doing. You no longer need that. You no longer need to have the nursery, in fact. You can just display plants. The Chelsea Flower Show for me was a real eye-opener. I'll never forget in 1993 walking into the Great Marquee and thinking, this Great Marquee is larger than my nursery. And there are hundreds of nurseries here. Hundreds. And the smell, because it was the old tent, the scent knocked you off your feet. And I literally shook with the pride. And I think that pride has gone because the nurseries are gone. And now they can sell plants, which is fabulous because it means that they can cover their costs because it's so expensive to be at Chelsea. So I think selling plants is good, but I think it needs to, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we've all gone into the Chelsea Flower Show and seen a reduction in the number of nurseries. There seems to be more space than there are nurseries occupying the Great Pavilion these days, which is a sad reflection and it encapsulates exactly what we're talking about.
I mean, it's nothing, not anything wrong with the RHS in that respect. They have a smaller pool because it is very expensive to exhibit, but it is a fantastic way to promote your nursery. So if you've got the guts to do it, even doing it once, you will actually help put your name out there. It's faster than any trying to build up social media or anything else that you can do. I mean, look at Hardy's, myself, Dibley's. We all got known through that show.
Yeah. And I think we touched on this last time. For nurseries, yes, it's great to have the business acumen, the account knowledge, and how to run a business, but underlying all of that has to be, which comes oozing from you, passion and commitment to do it. That
You've
love.
got to have that passion to be able to put up with the really horrendous days. And there are real down days. I had one here a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, when I walked into one of the tunnels and 90% of my stock had died.
90%. That is wow.
Yeah, that was a bad day.
You've got to
And
be a
that was because a herd of cows had gone through the tunnel.
Well, I wasn't expecting that. But you've got to be determined and resilient to be able to just say, right, okay, it's happened. Let's get on with it. Let's get this sorted. And a lot of people, well, maybe not a lot of people, so many people these days, like, oh, well, it's not worked. Let's call it a day.
The other thing, Mike, really important is plants grow 7 days a week. And people are not happy to work weekends anymore.
We touched on this last time and we talked about people want to have me time. And What I didn't get from you last time, because we were again, we went down some rabbit holes when we spoke last time, some great rabbit holes as we're doing today. Me time. You said to me something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing, me time for you was walking around the nursery with your phone to take some great pictures of that first flower coming out or seeing something growing away. Do you have any me time when it's not about the nursery, it's not about horticulture, it's about Jekka? Do you have times when it's maybe you and Mac, this is our me time and it's nothing to do with the nursery?
Actually, my me time is, if you were ever to come here in the house, is every evening at 5:30-ish, I cook the evening meal.
Okay.
I love cooking. That is like a, it's a, and then it's the whole thing of sharing that meal, and then we chat over the day.
And how long do you actually prepare and sit down for? It's not one of those like quickly, I've got to go and water or.
No. It depends what I'm cooking. It can take 2 hours to cook. And then we sit down, glass of wine, take our time. Or I can knock up a meal in half an hour, but I cook every night from scratch.
Wow. I sort of assumed you must be because to write this book and others, and aren't you appearing at, is it Hampton this year? You're in the one of the marquees, like.
Yeah, I'm at Malvern in Hampton and I'm doing a master class in growing, apparently. I haven't worked out what or how. I thought I was doing a talk called Herbs to Flavour and Savour, but and I was going to march around the tent giving people samples. But we'll see. And I'm doing a master class at Hampton Court on how to display.
Chelsea, are you growing for anybody for Chelsea Flower Show this year?
Well, after last year, which I grew a lot, I decided to only grow for one person this year. And I'm growing for a young man and his mum. And the young man worked here for a whole year, and that is Takuya. And they're Japanese, and him and his mum, and they're doing a Japanese balcony garden. So it's not very many plants at all. And they came over the other day, and I took them through their plants. And so they'll be come back and they'll be able to choose again because I think she'll change her palette of what she wants.
Lot of expectation for plant growing for Chelsea. You need the designer, the judges, the public. Are you aware? Does that pressure sit comfortably with you? You've done it so many times.
I really try my socks off for the people who are exhibiting, especially from a different country where their language is not strong enough. Sometimes I worry, I've taught them through about how they've got to explain to the judges what they've done. And that is quite difficult if you don't have English as your natural language.
I came to Herb Fest last year. You very kindly invited me to Herb Fest. It was my
You were
first.
fabulous. We giggled a lot.
Oh, we did giggle a lot. And do you know what I liked about Herb Fest? It's a lovely, warm, welcoming experience for the whole family. There's so much sort of like for growers, if you're into herbs or plants, there's talks, there's experience, there's Q&A sessions, very giggly Q&A sessions. So much to see. Will there be another one next year, 2025? It's every other year, isn't it?
Who knows?
Oh.
I hope so. I really genuinely hope so. But you can't tell nowadays. You live each day and keep your fingers crossed as a nurseryman.
Yeah. What keeps you motivated?
I think it's the plants. Well, I know it's the plants. I know it's the challenge of how I set myself little challenges. How can I improve the propagation of this plant? How can I make sure that I'm, 90% successful? Why did that plant not succeed? What happened to those seeds? I was fascinated by how one of the gardening correspondents hadn't realized that you should sow certain families fresh to get the best germination, like the Apiaceae. Like if you sow Angelica fresh, you'll have cress. But if you wait until now to sow it, you need to trick it into germination because the seed goes, locks up. And so it needs stratification to germinate. And having worked out that the herb you started with, the Xenotholium, or however you say it, Piperatum,
That's how I say it.
I mix up with damp sand, the fresh seed, and I put that into the fridge, lettuce compartment for 8 weeks, and it germinates beautifully because you need the stratification to break the outer casing of the seed.
And that's what I love about, because I love propagation, and it's just pushing the boundaries, trying it a little bit earlier, trying it with a different medium, differently. And I think that's still, I said last time, and it was true, I propagate not because I have room for plants, because I don't. I just love the whole experience, the whole process of propagating a plant, be it from a cutting or a root cutting or from a seed or division, whatever. Just love seeing how it grows away, because isn't that the fundamentals of this whole game? You said last time it's about the detail, the minute detail of seeing something growing away from a tiny cutting, how it grows, how it responds to being pruned. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is a wonderful world, which I hope won't be dominated by just big nurseries. I hope that the specialist nursery will be here in 20 years.
Yeah, definitely. Hear, hear to that. What's the future? What's next from Jekka?
Herb-wise, well, actually, we're in pivot mode. I learned that's the new word, so I'm using it again. I'm pivoting the nursery. No, we're going through a transition. We're thinking very deeply about what happens next. We've got our planning permission to build the school, but it might turn into something else. I don't know. You watch this space.
Do I ask what it might be?
I think just watch this space. There's some really interesting meetings taking place over this spring.
Okay, we'll watch this space then. Is there another book on the go? Is anything else in the pipeline that you can share?
There's one brewing, but I don't, as you may have gathered, I over the 40 years, I've actually written, I've forgotten how many from scratch, and then one of them got put into an encyclopedia. About eight. So I don't write them every year. It takes a lot for me to write a book. And if I do, this one will be much more about design because people think of herbs as easy and they're a bit of a thug. So I think I might go to into design. But having said it now out there, on your podcast, somebody else will come up and do it. Now I'll be told, Jekka, you're too late. It's already done.
Well, you've already touched on it in here as well, haven't you? There is sort of like some layout, some herb layout. It's helpful. Well, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure. 100 Herbs to Grow, published by Quadrille, and out on the 7th of March.
On World Book Day.
On World Book. Oh, perfect
How
time.
cool is that?
That's
Yes.
brilliant.
Yeah.
Jekka McVicar, Herb Nut. Thank you very much, as always.
Thank you very much.
Well, what a wonderful chat. And as always, my thanks to Jekka for taking time out of her busy schedule to come and chat with us today. And boy, what a great chat. As I mentioned in the introduction, I'm also re-releasing our first chat in which Jekka and I talk about all manner of things, including some rather special memories of Her Majesty the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. You can follow Jekka on her Instagram accounts, Jekka's Herb Farm, which is one word, and Jekka McVicar.
also as one word. And if you've not already had enough of me, you can follow me on my Instagram account, where you'll find me as Mike_thegardener. And my thanks to you for listening. I obviously couldn't and wouldn't do it without you. So thank you. And hello to any newbies. It's just lovely to have you here. And if any of you are able to leave a review, please do, as it really does help people find us. Now, sadly, it's raining today, so I'm heading off to the potting shed to pot up some dahlias and sow some cheeky early seeds. So I'll see you next time around. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.